Okay, so if you remember where we left off, Gemara had a suffix about the following situation. A person squats in someone else's house, and the Gemara asked, does he have to pay rent? So the Gemara said, well, what's the case? So he said, well, if this apartment is available for rent, and by squatting there, he's going to prevent the landlord from collecting rent, and it saves him the, you know, the money of having to go rent a different property. Clearly, he's obligated to pay. If it's zelo nana, if it's zelo chaser, the guy wasn't looking for a tenant. He was never going to pay rent himself. He didn't benefit a monetary benefit. So then, surely he is pater. Tosfos and the Rif had a machlokes about zechaser, zelo nana. He was never going to pay, but this guy was looking for a tenant. We explained that really they're arguing about what is the motivator here? Why the guy has to pay by zenana v'zechaser? Is it primarily the zechaser? Is it more the zenana? But let's move on to the suffix of the Gemara, which is, what about the fourth permutation of zenana? This guy was looking for an apartment to rent, and by squatting here, he doesn't have to pay rent. V'zelochaser, this guy, for whatever reason, wasn't looking for a tenant. He was keeping the apartment vacant, and therefore, he really doesn't lose anything monetarily by having this guy live in his apartment. The Gemara is going to raise the issue, well, there's wear and tear, and we'll get to the wear and tear. But you know, excluding that, leaving that off the table for now, he really doesn't lose anything. Yeah? And this guy benefits. So Gemara says, Shiloh, does he have to pay? Does he have to, maybe he shouldn't have to pay. The mice of the guy lost out on no rent revenue. But on the other hand, maybe he does have to pay because in the end of the day, he did derive some sort of financial benefit here. And we had to explain how for Tosfos, where the primary motivator in Zenene, if it's a chaser, is the Zenene, you benefited in a monetary benefit. How can we even have a suffix here? Of course you'd be obligated to pay. You benefited in a monetary benefit, and we explained at the time, if you remember, since he didn't lose anything, maybe he's considered to be benefiting from Hefker. It was a benefit without anybody who's losing. Maybe such a situation, even Tosfos would concede you don't have to pay. That's the suffix of the Gemara. I think Gemara is going to go back and forth about this. I hate to break a spoiler alert, but the Gemara we paskin, you don't have to pay. Okay, he doesn't have to pay. However, how could the Gemara go back and forth about this issue? As we'll see at length, the Gemara brings up a number of very interesting points along the way. How could we even have a suffix whether or not he has to pay? After all, there's a Gemara Mesechtes Bava Basra, which tells us that there's something called Midas Stoim. Look over here at the Mishnah Mesechtes Avos. Hopefully we're familiar with this. The Mishnah tells us that there's four types of people. Arba Midas Ba'adam. Ha'ima Shali Shali V'Shachal Shachal. Very generous, giving individuals. Shali Shali V'Shachal Shachal. What's mine is mine. What's yours is yours. Where has it? We don't have it. Oh, yeah, over here. So then Zumi the Beninus V'Yisham Zumi Das Stoim. I say what's mine is mine. What's yours is yours. That's the middle path. There are those who compare this to Midas Stoim. We'll get back to that. Shali Shalcha, V'Shalcha Shali. What's yours, what's mine is yours. What's yours is mine. I'm ours. And you're just foolish. Shali Shalcha, V'Shalcha Shalcha. What's mine is yours. And what's yours is yours. I don't want to take, but I do want to give. That's a chassid. He's a giver, not a taker. A guy who takes, and he doesn't mind if other people take from him. He just doesn't understand, property rights. That's just a fool. Shali Shali V'Shalcha Shali, everything is mine. He's a taker, not a giver. That's a Rasha. But let's go back to the first option that the Mishnah mentioned. Shali Shali V'Shalcha Shalcha, what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. Many people have this kind of philosophy. Zumi de Beninus, I'm not a giver, I'm not a taker. Just want to live life, in my own Daoramas. You stay in your Daoramas, don't bother me and knock on my door and ask for things. It's fine, I want to keep to myself. Zumi de Beninus. But Yesh Oimim Zumi de Stoim. Those who say there's Midas Stoim, by and large, we don't have Machloikas and Mesechtes Avos. There's no two deis. Each Tana stresses their own, pearl of wisdom, but we don't really have a Machloikas. So how can we have a Machloikas over here? So the Magen Avos to the Rashbats explains that there really isn't a Machloikas here. What the Mishnah is telling us is there's nothing fundamentally wrong with that philosophy. What's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. Yeah, I'm keeping to myself. However, it could lead one to Midas Stoim. Yesh Oimrim Zu Midas Stoim. And what is Midas Stoim? The Mishnah introduces us to this. The pasuk in the Parshas Lechocha doesn't really identify for us what exactly was the problem with the people of Sodom. We get the fact that they were opposed to the chesed that was done by Lloyd. But, the pasuk doesn't identify what was their primary philosophy. But here, Chazal gives us a glimpse into that. And that was that they were opposed to chesed, even to the degree that where I lose nothing, just the fact that you benefit, you know, they were opposed to that. Certainly, if I have to lose something along the way to perform a chesed, I have to give my own money to do tzedakah, that clearly was out of bounds. But even if you would stand to benefit, but I wouldn't lose anything, they were begrudging to that degree, and they wouldn't do chesed even in that scenario. So obviously that's something we have to distance ourselves from the aver of Sedaim. We should do chesed. We do chesed even if it does sometimes cost us something, obviously. We do tzedakah. But we should certainly distance ourselves from the midah of Sedaim, that to do chesed in a situation where I lose nothing, cost me nothing, of course we have to do chesed there. And the Gemara is going to tell us in Baba Basra, in that situation, we would even compel you to do chesed. For example, the Gemara discusses two brothers who are inheriting properties from their father. And one is going to take one property, one's going to take the other property. And one brother has an adjacent property to one of the properties that they're yarshining. Yeah, he's a dina de bar metzora. So can he say to the other brother, look, give me the property, let's say I own this property over here, and the Yerusha is this middle wasteland. Yeah. So I say, give me the wasteland over here. I don't know why we knock these things down just to leave it empty. But, I mean, give me the wasteland. There used to be a house here. It looks like someone got their teeth knocked out. Right? This house knockout. There all used to be houses, I remember. And then they knocked them all down every time they bought one. I don't know why. So I said, give me that so I could build a ginam, you know, a big Washington Heights mansion over here, two lots. And you say, nah, there's another property on the other side of the Heights. I said, give me this one. I own this house. Give me this one that's next to mine. So the guy can say, the Gemara says, that the other brother can say to him, no, you know, I really prefer this block over to that block. What do I want to be on the other side of the Heights for? I also want to be over here, the YU side. Who wants to be on that side? So I say, I also want over here. You take the property over there. I prefer this property to that property. So I have the right to say that one property might be more valuable than the other property. One property might be more desirable than the other property, even if they have the same market value. Or the Gemara says that one of the brothers can say, I'm afraid my property will flood and your property won't flood. Mine might be closer to the river and yours is further away from the river. There could be any conceivable reason why one might be preferable than the other. But the Gemara says if there is no reason why one is preferable than the other, meaning I have one house over here, one house on the other side of this brownstone, for lack of a better term. One, you know, on this side, one on the other side. So there's no reason to assume this one is more valuable than that one, you know. They're not going to flood more, you know, more often than the other. You're both on this side of the Heights. There's no conceivable reason to deny this guy the property that's next to his own property. One is on this side of the street, one is on the other side of the street. I want to build a giant mansion. If you give me the one on the other side of the street, I can't do it. Somar says, in that situation, Amar Rav Yosef Kegoinze Kaifen Amidastan. We would compel the brother to give the other brother the property that's adjacent to, you know, to his property, to benefit him in that way, because the other brother has nothing to lose. Why would you not give him? If there's any conceivable reason why one property might be preferable, then of course you could deny him. That's not me this time. I want that property more than this one. But if there's no reason to assume one is going to flood more, one is more valuable, you know, they're pretty much, you know, it's the same. They're identical, other than the fact that one is next to my previously owned property. So Mar says, Kegoin ze koifin al midas time. We would compel you to give, you know, to do your friend the taiva, since you lose nothing. So back to our Gemara, Frek Taisus over here at the top of the Amud. Taisus asks, how can we even have a suffix? What's the issue? Zenene v'zelo chaser. This guy benefits, he needs a place to rent. This guy's an empty apartment, you're not looking to rent it out. Let's leave the wear and tear off the table for the moment. Why would you deny this guy to live in your apartment? It's kaifet, and not only that, it's kaifet on me that somebody should compel you to let him live in the apartment. That's Taisus Kasha. Filaman the Omer says Taisus, where come the Baba Basra, Kaifin Arsel, Amidas Taim. Even according to the conclusion of the Gemara, that Kaifin Amidas Taim, via Havinon Le Achad Metzra, we allow him to get the property that's on one border, that's adjacent to his previous property, Shiny Ocha. Here is different. Shayacha Lemoina Mitchila Milada Rebesoi. You cannot commandeer someone's property based on the principle of Kaifin al Midas Taim. See, there we're splitting up properties that neither one of us owns. Here, you want to enter into my home forcibly based on the principle that I'm not using this room now. No, you can't take my room. You can't violate my property rights and commandeer my property because I'm just not using it now. That's that. We don't apply Kaifin al Midas Taim there. Well, man, So that's why I could prevent you from entering into my property in the first place. So therefore, it says, like in this, a There, I could prevent you from ever entering into my property in the first place. You can't knock on my door and say, hey, by the way, what's going on in your guest room right now? Oh, no one's there? I'm coming in. Well, you can't do that. That's my house. Even though I'm not using it now. Oh, and what do I stand to lose? I have nothing to lose. The pillows will be fine. The blankets will be fine. You're a very neat individual. Let's leave the wear and tear off the, you know, off the table for the moment. Why shouldn't I give it to you? Why can't we commandeer your guest room for my simcha? Kaifen al midas tam. The answer is you can't enter into someone else's property. You can't seize their item based on midas tam just because they're not using it right now. And look over here, the Nemuka Yosef, I always dial it on the sheet. It says in Nemuka Yosef, Avagav the kaimu ba'alma, the zen end of a zeh, eno chaser, kaifen al midas tam. Even though normally when you lose nothing and this guy stands to benefit, we would compel you to give him the, to allow him to have that benefit. That's if the property here belongs to both brothers as part of inheritance, and we're trying to split it up. I'm not taking your item at all. So because of midas time, I can compel you to give me one property over the other. No, you can't take my item because of midas time. If you're not going to draw this line in the sand, I'm going to go around seizing guest rooms for my simcha without your permission. I mean, it's crazy. It's fine. That's the opinion of Tosis and Mukhe Yosef. The Mordechai seems to disagree, surprisingly, but he draws a different distinction. Says the Mordechai, over here in Bava Kamma, Yesh Mefarshim. Again, the major problem over here is how can we have a shaylev zenen of zelo chaser? What happened to kaifen on me this time? Says the Mordechai, v'yesh mefarshim, de'im kaifen el kagoyin heicha de mahani afilu yavibol la'arvoche b'ha milsa lomatzi la'arvoche. The only time we apply kaifen on me this stone is when I have an item I could not possibly have rented out or derived income from it. But if you have an item where I could choose at any moment to rent it out, you can't live in my apartment for free because I might change my mind and decide to rent it out. Meaning you're taking an item which has a market value. You can't take an item of mine that has a market value without paying for it. You know, that's not kofen al midas tam. You can't take something that has a market value. It's not so much that you're violating my property rights by taking something which is mine. You know, and if you kofen al midas tam can't violate my property rights or override my property rights. That's what Tosfos and Mukhe Yosef said. Mordechai here is focused on the fact that this has rent potential for rentable income or to earn income. And if you're going to live there, you're going to prevent me from ever choosing to rent it out. Now I have to evict you, which is like crazy, right? So you know, the process of evicting somebody from an apartment is very... It's a long process, so I don't want to have to get involved in that. So this is something I could choose to rent out. You can't take an item that has a market value for free. That's what it's focused on. It's not because you're violating my property rights per se, but it's because it has a market value. So if Shimon Shkop writes in his Kiddushim of Sefer Bava Kamma, the Mordechai really disagrees with Tosfos and Mukhe Yosef. The Mordechai didn't have a problem with a guy going ahead and seizing my guest room if I'm not using it now because of Kofen al Midas Tam. Let's leave the wear and tear out of it for now. That's a conceivable loss. That's why I could deny you entry. Or I want to walk around in my pajamas, and if you're here, I can't do that. So forget about all those issues. Those are losses. That's a real loss. That's an inconvenience. But forget about all that. Even if it would be, absolutely, it has a separate entrance. You have no entrance into my house. There's no wear and tear. The whole room is made out of cement. You know, what's going to happen? So there's absolutely no loss involved. Nonetheless, Tezim Mukha, you guys have said you can't violate my property rights to enter into my property without my consent. The Mordechai disagrees with that. The Mordechai holds you can. The only reason you can't is because I could have earned, income by renting out the property, and now I can't because you're here. But it's really not a violation of my property rights to seize it because of Kofen al Midas Tam, which is very surprising. That seems to be, though, the opinion of the Mordechai. And I believe that we see these two opinions elsewhere. The Gemara says in Maseches Bava Metzia that if you pick up a lost item, so you not only have to return it, the mitzvah Shavas Aveda, part of the mitzvah Shavas Aveda entails that you take care of the item while it's, in your possession. Let's say I pick up I don't think I have to charge your computer or iPhone, but let's say I pick up, an item, and I'm going to take it into my reshus to hold, and I'm going to put up signs, So I have to make sure that the item doesn't get ruined while it's in my care. So therefore, the Gemara says you have to stretch out garments every now and then. You have to use the pots to make sure they don't rust. You have to unroll the svarim, because if you leave a scroll rolled all the time, it'll become moldy. So fine, you have to take care of the item to make sure it doesn't become ruined. That's all included in the mitzvah of Shavas Aveda. You get reward, part of the mitzvah of Shavas Aveda, for doing that. Fine. So the Gemara has a shayla. Can I use the item for my own benefit? Let's say I'm taking care of your svarim. I'm taking care of your kalim. Can I use it for my benefit as well? Meaning, can I make supper? I have to use your kalim. Yeah, otherwise it's going to get rusty. Can I make supper in it? I'm using your svarim. Can I use it for, you know, Seder, morning Seder? I have to use this, you know, stupid Sefer anyway that I picked up. Can I use it for morning Seder? Can I benefit along the way? Can I derive some sort of benefit? So Gemara says, if it's a tablecloth, then no, then you can't. Then you can't do it. No, you can't. Why? Because your wife will end up liking the tablecloth so much, you'll end up using it beyond. You say, whoa, what a fancy, nice, you know, silver, gold-laced tablecloth. Shabbos will say, oh, you know what, we use it Thursday night because of the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda. Well, you know, we love it so much, let's just leave it on for Shabbos. So there's a fear you might continue to use it even beyond the required amount. What about Svarim and Kalim? Is that permitted? So the Gemara seems to say, yes, it is permitted. You're allowed to derive a benefit along the way. So Tosis there explains, because I'm not violating your property rights. Tosis says, why can't I use your item without your permission? Yeah, because you can't, you have nothing to lose. Let's say I'm going to use your keli. You're not using it right now. Kaifin omida stoy. I compel you to allow me to use it. I come and knock on your door. Using your crackpot to shop? Oh no, give it to me. I can't do that, says Taisa. I can't violate your property rights. This is your thing. How can I seize it from you because of Kaifan on me this time? There's a line in the sand. Taisa says over here, though, you're using it anyway. I have to use it because of Mitzvah Shavas Aveda. So I'm not hijacking your property. So you're going to deny me the benefit of making supper in your keli for no reason. And I'm using it anyway. Oh, so says Taisa. Such a situation. Kaifan on me this time. That's Kaifan on me this time. However, the Ran and the Mordechai over there disagree. And they say, no, the only reason you can use the keli to make supper, the only reason you can use the svarim is because if we don't let you use it, you know, no one's going to do Hashavas Avedi. We're like, oh, Yvei, another sefer. You know, you'll violate the Isser of Isalam to Mayhem. You won't pick up the lost item because you say, oh, Gevalt, I don't want to deal with this. So we have to let you use it in order to encourage people to do the mitzvah of Shavas Aveda. If we're not going to let you use it, you won't use it. But fundamentally, Kaifan Omid Aslam cannot permit me to make supper in your keli or to use your svarim for Seder. No, we don't apply Kaifan Omid Aslam in such a situation. So Rav Yecheskel Abramsky, who has a commentary on the Tosefta, a long commentary on the Tosefta, there's many stories about this. There's a great guy named Chesko Abramsky. He lived in UK after the war. So he suggests that perhaps it's because the Ran and the Mordechai are subscribing, going l'shitasam, that the mitzvah, that Kaifan Amida Stem applies only to an item which doesn't have a rentable value to it. Could you rent out your sefer for Seder? Certainly. Could you rent out your kelim to make, to cook in? Of course. People do it all the time. You can rent utensils. You can rent svarim. So since this has a potential for rentable income, and now that you're using it, I can't rent it out, so you can't apply Kaifan Amida Stam to allow me to cook supper in your utensil. Tosefta says, no, forget about the rentable income. I just can't hijack your property. I can't seize it because of Kaifan Amida Stam, but here I'm using it anyway. So why would you deny me that benefit? The Mordechai says, no, I can deny you that benefit. You know why? Because this has a rentable value to it. Anything that has a rentable value to it, I can deny you your usage because of Kaifan Amida Stam. Kaifan Amida Stam doesn't apply when there's potential to earn money. The only reason we allowed you to cook supper in the kelim, we allowed you to use this form, because otherwise no one ever is going to pick up a lost item. But otherwise, I could have prevented you from doing it. So letzarka, it's for the benefit of the item, and it's for your benefit too. Says the Ran, we really could have denied it to you, because there's a potential to earn income here. It's just, if we're going to deny you, no one ever is going to pick up a lost item. So how do we possibly have a machlekes over here? Machlekes HaRishonim. When do we apply Kaifan Amida Stam? Tosfos opinion is, both here and above Metzia, is that we only apply Kaifan Amida Stam when it's something that doesn't belong to anybody. Yeah, we're splitting up two properties. You take this one, I'll take that one. So why would you deny me the property that I want? But if it's something that belongs to somebody, you can't hijack my property because of Kefir Amid this time. However, the Mukhe Yosef, the Mordechai seem to disagree. You can hijack someone else's property if they're not using it now. The only thing is, if there's a potential to earn income, then you can't take it because you're preventing them from the turning around and changing their mind and earning money on this item. How do we paskin on this issue? So look over here, and it's Nogei Lamaisa, Rabbi said. It's something that happens all the time. Look over here, says the Rama. The Rama quotes the Mordechai. You can't compel somebody to allow them to live in, you know, I can't barge into your house because of Kaifan al Midastain. Where I stand to benefit and you don't stand to lose. We normally apply Kaifan al Midastain. That's only something I couldn't have rented out, meaning I couldn't have derived benefit from it because, I simply can't use it now for, you know, to derive any kind of financial income. If I could have rented it out, then you can't compel me to use my room. If I could have rented it out, you know, you can't dwell there because of Kaifan al Midastam. When do we apply Kaifan al Midastam? Says the Ramah, only if it's something that if I could, you know, I could never have benefited from it. I could not have rented it out. Then, Kaifan al Midastam, if it's something I could rent out, you have no right to seize it and deny me that rental income. But the Ramah doesn't seem to have any problem with the fact that this belongs to somebody else, and there's just this inherent property rights that you're violating by barging into his house. That doesn't bother the Ramah. It's only because you're denying him the potential for rental income. Therefore, if there's no potential, you could do it. However, the Pesachei Tshuva disagrees. Pesachei Tshuva passes like Tosis. Mashma! If it's something you could not have benefited from, you can compel him. Because the tshuva is based Ephraim, it's Arachin, Aramosh, because of time it came to Mazig Arvuche, and with the boy, something that I could have rented out, just right now I'm not interested in it. From Taisus, it doesn't sound like that. Even if it's something where that reason does not apply, you simply cannot violate my property rights and barge into my house because of Kaifan al Midas Time. Even if I have nothing to lose, you're just violating my property rights. That alone is sufficient reason to prevent you from doing it. Okay, so the Ramah passes like the Mordechai, the Pesachei Tshuva passes like Tosfos. We obviously are going to have to be machmir for both. Where does this come up? I said this comes up all the time, all the time. If you have a car and your friends don't, what happens? Inevitably, you're going to a wedding. He says, ooh, you're driving to the wedding. Can I have a ride? I have nothing to lose. You know, forget about the gas. Let's assume there's no extra gas. It's very hard. There used to be a Belfer School of Mathematics here, which was the subject of a Supreme Court, because they dissolved it. How do you dissolve it? And then, you know, fired all the faculty, even though they were tenured, so they sued Yeshiva, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States. I think we mentioned it once. So they tried to figure out whether or not, one of the things that the Belfer School of Mathematics did in their heyday was trying to figure out by adding a person to a car, do you increase the amount of gas that you use? It's Nogeyat Eochel Shabbos, Nogeyat Adar Inyanim. And it was inconclusive, because it depends too much on the habits of the driver. How often do you step on the gas? How often do you press the brake? Fine, too hard. So forget about the extra gas. You're going anyway. Okay, so this guy says to me, you know what, forget it. I'm coming with you. Kaifan al Midastayim. Just say, save me a seat, you know, shotgun. Can you do that? Do we apply Kaifan al Midastayim? So there used to be a professor here, not at the Belfer School of Mathematics. He was an economics professor named Professor Dr. Aaron Levine. He was actually Rabbi Shechter's cousin. A great tzaddik. Oh, what a tzaddik. He passed away young. Anyway, so he was not the greatest teacher, but he was a wonderful tzaddik, and he was a pioneer in the world of business ethics. He wrote many books. So one of his, always like case studies, which are like the hardest books to read, but okay. So one of his case studies was this issue, and he claimed, both according to Tosfos and according to the Mordechai, you can compel the guy to take you, to give you the ride. Why? It's not a rentable. In those days, you couldn't rent out a seat in your car unless you had a taxi medallion. So it was illegal. So it's not a rentable thing. So according to the Mordechai, it should be permitted. because, or we should apply Kofen al midas tum. You can't deny me because I'm not denying you any income. You can't deny me the seat. Ah, what about according to Tosfos? I can't seize your property just because you have nothing to lose. I can't violate you. You're not using your guest room, says Tosfos. I can't all of a sudden commandeer your guest room, because Kofen al midas tum. Why would you deny me this benefit when you have nothing to lose? Even according to Tosfos, are you, Dr. Levine? I'm not seizing your car. You're going to be in the car too. I'm not hijacking your car. I'm just asking for a seat in the car. So Dr. Levine held, you cannot deny somebody a ride if you have an extra seat in your car. I would disagree with Dr. Levine, and we actually had a machlekes about this in the library one afternoon. I disagree both according to the Mordechai and according to Tosfos. According to the Mordechai, I don't disagree. The reality has changed. You can rent out your seat. I don't know if you need it. There's no such thing as an Uber license. Anybody can make one of those things. I don't think it's illegal in our times to charge somebody to take somebody in your car. You don't need a taxi medallion.
Sometimes you have people who ask, like specifically, like, can you just chip in a couple dollars?
Like, that's legal? That's Heimish? That's a whole separate thing.
Nah, I don't know. Like sometimes people, like if they're crossing a bridge, they want someone to help.
I understand, but we'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
But I'm saying, is it legal? I think it might be legal now. Or maybe now we just realize that it's legal. You can charge somebody to come in your car. You can be in taxi service without having a taxi medallion. I don't know if you could pick people up south of 60th Street, but you can have need a taxi medallion.
No,
definitely not in the suburbs. So you can charge somebody for the seat. So this is a rentable commodity in our times. And more than that, just like I could rent out a room in my house, certainly in our times with Airbnb, right? They're literally doing it all the time, which wasn't the reality when Dr. Levine wrote this in the 80s. Early 90s. But the other, I would disagree according to Tosfos too. I would disagree according to Tosfos. You are violating my property rights. It's true. You're also in the car. I don't have to drive the car to commandeer the car. I just seize the seat in your car. I have the right as the owner of the car to dictate who comes in and who goes out. It's no different than seizing my guest room while I'm living upstairs. You can't seize my property according to Tosfos just because I happen to not be using it right now. And just because I'm in the car, you're still called commandeering my car. So I thought that it was a violation of your property rights, according to Tosfos. If we're going to say, according to the Mordechai, and it's impossible to rent out, maybe there's an argument to be made. And I think that's where Dr. Levine was really going. But in our times, you can rent it out, so you wouldn't be able to seize it based on midas tum. I actually asked Dr. Levine, I said to him, which is always the heart of where things come from. I said, by the way, Dr. Levine, how do you get here every day? He said, I hitch a ride with somebody else. I said, I said, funny thing, I give rides to other people every day. I said, Anyway, so have different perspectives. I happen to think you do lose something. It's not even me this time. Nowadays in the car, in those days you didn't have Bluetooth. I'm making phone calls. I want to listen to my shir. And if you're here, you're asking kashas. I don't want your kashas. I don't want you involved in my shir. I don't want to entertain you the whole car ride. So there is a loss that's involved. I don't think Dr. Levine appreciated that either. But there is a loss having other people in the car. I'm already taking four people. What is the fifth seat? Bother me? Okay, then perhaps we could get involved in. Let's say we have an empty seat, in the carpool. So can you commandeer the empty seat? You're already not traveling alone. You're already not making private phone calls. So that would be this machlekes, the Mordechai and Tosfos. I don't know if you could rent out that fifth seat in the carpool. I don't know about that. But you would be violating my property rights to all of a sudden push your way into my car. That certainly would be a problem because of that would definitely violate my property rights. It wouldn't apply kofen al midas tum according to Tosfos. One issue, though, where I think Dr. Levine was right, well, I'm with this for today, is one piece of the puzzle we didn't get to. We'll come back to it next time. But here, Dr. Levine is right. Dr. Levine said, if you're taking somebody in the car, you already agreed to go. Now to charge him, that's kofen al midas tum. You can't charge him. And not only can't, even if he offers to pay, you can't take the money. If you're already going, I'm committed to going. We have to see there's a wrinkle to this, though. But if I was already committed to going, I'm taking my car no matter what because I'm going to the airport afterwards or something. So, and he asked for a ride there. He'll figure out a ride back. I can't charge him for the tolls because I was going anyway. And there's no extra gas that's involved. So even if the guy offers to pay, you're not allowed to take it. It's kofen al midas. I could have denied him entry in the first place. But once I agreed to take him, to charge him might be a problem. We'll have to get to next time. What if he could have driven and I could have driven? Carpooling. And then we'll move on in the Gemara Mitzvah. Okay, Kevin, let me quick on the